Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast, episode 65, Isolation Kills Your Mission. Nobody is an island, you can't do it alone, isolation is the start of the end. In this episode, I'll explain why. So we'll start this episode with a one-liner that I loved, and it was that the lone wolf is glorified, but the lone wolf dies without his pack. Okay, so if you're like me in the past, I did have my lone wolf mentality, kind of monk mode stuff going on for a good while, and a lot of people do as well. It's a kind of thing, as that line shows, it's kind of glorified now, going monk mode or going lone wolf, but yeah, you'll see. It's okay for periods of life, but in the long run, isolation kills your mission. You'll see through the points we go through that, it's not the way that you want to stay forever going forward. And apologies as well, the YouTube will be on. I'm no expert with the camera, the lighting. It seems to be the sun is out, clouds coming in and out. Apologies if the lighting just shoots way up or goes down. It's something that I'm looking to upgrade this year for sure. Okay, so with this, laid out into 3 points again, just to make it easier for you guys to digest. So first point, and sorry as well, I'm not sure if you can hear that. Hopefully the podcast mic is good enough that it cuts out sounds outside. But there is a construction man building a cabin right outside, just over the wall. So looks like one of our neighbours is going to be getting some more rent money by putting people out into the back garden. So apologies for that if you're hearing his nail gun, and him hammering away. Hopefully not. Okay, so first point, isolate to integrate. Second point then will be find your tribe, and there's two different sections on connection and accountability. But the first point, isolate to integrate. So yes, to start this episode, you do need a period of monk mode. You do need a period where you actually isolate yourself from everyone else, because that's when you're going to be able to find your true self and go on your own self-development and self-discovery journey. Okay, so that is the first point. You do need space to find your true self. And for most people, it seems to happen after college. That was my story too, because with the family life growing up, and then we're in school, and we're just around our friends and the kind of general society, going up through school, sports teams, and then usually into college. But it's only when we leave college that we're kind of out on our own, in a way, for the first time ever, where we have to look after ourselves, where we could be living somewhere kind of totally random with new random people. So basically all the kind of foundational things that we were used to, they're gone a lot of the time. And now, as we're saying here, now you actually have that space to kind of find yourself more. And it's something that a lot of people don't really do on the way up, because we just have everything laid out for us there, like school, sports teams, college, etc. So it's when kind of like the family, friends, societal pressure is removed and you have that space that you can actually start your own self-development journey and dive into that. And that was my story too. After college, as you know, at this stage, the kind of broken body, not a great mindset, and wasn't heading for the life that I wanted. That's when my self-development journey started. After I finished college and moved in with two random people and had a lot of time and space to myself. So that is important. I want to start the episode with that because, as I said, the lone wolf on his own is going to die, but you do need a period where you actually isolate yourself to find out who you are, because now you can find the packs that are going to be best suited for you. And the last point on the isolation, what you want to do here, very simply, of all this mapped out in the Lifestyle Design University, which you'll find on the website, guidedandsettled.com, but very simply, you want to cultivate your internal compass. And in the most simple way possible, two things there, you need to find out your values. Okay, so what you value in life, and that's who you want to be. And then the second thing is your vision for life. That's what you want to do. Okay, so very simply, because self-development can get very confusing and there's so much of it. Find out those two things and you're off to the best start possible. Okay, figure out your values, so who you want to be, and then your vision, which is what you want to do. And then you have your internal compass. You protect that and that'll guide you going forward. You're not going to know the way. That's why it's called a compass, because you might go 5 steps this way. The compass says left. Then you go 5 steps left. Now the compass is saying right. Okay, so that's why if you build your internal compass, you'll know the way forward no matter what. Because what we've done before is we just take a map from someone else. Like, oh, there, go to school, go to college, do this, do that. And we just follow the map. But our compass could be telling us otherwise, and we can feel that too. Like, the map is saying go 10 years in that direction, but like in your heart, your values are dormant. They're hidden at the moment, but they're telling you, if you're feeling a bit uncomfortable about that, that that's not the direction that you want to go. Okay, so isolate to integrate. You need that space to learn about yourself, find out what you want, and find out those two things, your values, who you want to be, and then your vision, what you want to do. And that'll keep evolving over time. So into the second point then, which is the kind of purpose of this episode around isolation kills your mission. You need to find your tribe. Okay, so you need to find your tribe, and I'll break it into two parts. We need to find your tribe for connection reasons, and then you need to find your tribe for accountability reasons. So on the connection, like, we're a social species. Humans are a social species. We need it to survive. Okay, so this would be like the first time in the history of humans that you're able to survive in this kind of extreme isolation due to the information age, etc. That never would have been possible before. If you were isolated, you were going to die, just like the wolves would too, with that quote at the start. So on this, we all need connection and community, and like, there's loads of stats. I didn't actually pull some of them up, but I remember reading and listening to them before. Like, isolation is one of the biggest risks of dying once you get older. I think it's even more of a risk than drinking and drugs. But that just puts it in perspective for you. Like, loneliness is an epidemic, and it is something that can lead to more people dying than drinking drugs. Okay, so just to state the importance of it. Hard to kind of... Yeah, it can be hard to maybe understand that when you're younger. Not that I'm too old now at 32, but yeah, like, you know, your teens, your 20s, you're kind of like, oh, that's not really making sense to me. But actually, when I look at the stats on who listens to the podcast, it's roughly people my age. It's roughly kind of late 20s to early 30s. So, you're kind of would have maybe realized that yourself already at this stage. So, yeah, we all need connection and community, and we need people that get you. So Carl Jung had some great quotes. Again, a lot of the times when I heard his quotes, it made sense for some point in my life. But on loneliness, I don't know if it was actually his quote or someone else's, but like, loneliness isn't to do with being around people. It's to do with being around people that get you. So I can't remember the exact line, but it was something like, you can feel as lonely as you've ever felt in a room full of people, and you can feel not lonely if you even have a book with someone that really resonates with you. Okay, so like, it's not about the proximity of people to you. It's about what people actually get you and understand you. That's the main thing, and that's your tribe. Okay, so like, you'd be better off having one best friend who really gets you and you really connect with than like 10 friends who you're just friends with them because of school or college or something, and like, you don't really get each other. You don't really feel kind of heard or understood or feel that connection with them. Okay, and that's kind of my life too. I've only a couple of best friends, and then you've obviously wider friend groups and stuff, but I don't have too many close friends, but I've enough kind of in my tribe that get me, we understand each other, and that's when you don't feel lonely then, is when you have those people that get you. And I'd said there as well, yeah, actually from my experience, I talked about this in the podcast episode called Nobody is an Island. So if you're looking on Spotify, you can look that one up, or if it's on YouTube, it is on YouTube if you prefer to watch them. Just go onto my page and search Nobody is an Island. It's probably like 10 or 12 episodes ago. And that's when I talked about my monk mode, and I chased everything that I ever wanted. Like, got back to physical freedom, got the body I wanted, the strength, the cardio, everything, the mindset I wanted, the life, you know, passion to business, etc. And after all of that, hitting the high points, what did I feel? I felt lonely because I'd gone too far on the monk mode. I'd sacrificed relationships, I'd isolated myself, and I'd just gone after all these goals and hit them all, which, you know, I didn't even think I would. But yeah, at the top of the mountain, it's pretty lonely up there, okay? I should have brought a few people with me. So that was a big realization for me, which was that I'd essentially designed the life that I wanted. That's why I have the lifestyle design there, to show you guys how to do it. But what's the point in designing the life that you want if you've no one to live it with? That was the harsh reality I faced at the top, which sounds so obvious in hindsight, but I didn't realize it till I was up at the top, because I had everything I wanted. I'm like living the life that I would have if I was like a millionaire, and I was lonely because I didn't have a partner, because I'd neglected that and even broken up with previous partners and stuff because they were getting in the way of my mission, and then hadn't like worked on close relationships with my friends either. I'd just gone off and done my own thing. So painful lesson to learn, but that's the ones you learn the most from. And hopefully you can take you know, wisdom from my mistakes and not have to do it yourself. But yeah, the relationships are a massive part of it. Your tribe is a massive part of it. And it's all about that connection. And I'll leave you with two other points on the connection part. And it was from a book that I read called Tribe on Homecoming and Belonging. I actually listened to it on Audible. And it was by Sebastian Younger. And the whole point of that book was, yeah, figuring out, like, what does it mean to be part of a tribe? And all about, like, where do we feel, like, what do we feel is our proper home? And it was around war. So they went into, like, stories of war and people coming home from war and how they were feeling. Could they integrate into society? Did they prefer it out there? Yeah, so just very interesting, all about, like, connection and meaning and homecoming and belonging, like the title is saying. And the very interesting thing was, a lot of the people who came back from war, they wanted to go back to war. Like, it just shows you what we really value in life. Like, when they're on the front lines in war, with their platoon, with their tribe, with their brothers, who they're dying for. It's not figuratively, they're literally putting their bodies on the line to die for each other, for their brothers, for their country. There's no more connection than that. Like, that's peak connection for a human being, like, on the literal battlefield with your brothers, willing to die for each other. Like, you can't get higher connection, meaning, belonging than that. And then after that, what happens? They fly home to their own countries and they have to go get a job punching in the keyboard for a company that treats them like a number. You know, and you could just see, like, they lost complete connection that they had, the belonging, the homecoming. They didn't have their tribe anymore, and a lot of them would get depressed and different things, and you can see where that spirals into drinks and drugs, etc. So yeah, that just really hit home too around the tribe, that we're a social species, we need a tribe. It's obviously not to say that we need to go to war, but you see the point of it there. And another very interesting angle in the book too, or sorry, it's on the same angle, but another point was that when people go to war, and sometimes if it involves like native tribes, sometimes people from the platoons would want to stay with the native tribes. But never the other way around. I don't think there's ever been a documented where someone from a native tribe wanted to join the First World people and go home with them. You know, it's not just so funny and kind of ironic in a way that we're like so advanced, but now we're so isolated, whereas the people living in the older ways have the great connection in the tribe. So like that was so interesting that, yeah, so some soldiers wanted to stay because they felt so much more belonging in the tribes, but it never happened to them around. No one from a tribe wanted to leave that and join us and come back to the First World country. And a final point then on the connection, which is a little bit of a different angle on it, is that we all need to feel useful. Okay, and this leads into the connection. Like, think of it like this. Like, in that platoon, you wouldn't have the same connection brotherhood if you were completely useless. Because no one would rely on you then or need you. So they all have different skills that they have, and now they can work together, help each other, and that's when the bond happens. Okay, so, like, this is where a line I figured out for myself years ago was that I just need to become capable. Like, becoming capable will solve so many issues. Like, even just for yourself. If you become capable physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all these things, your life is going to improve massively just for yourself. But then you also benefit other people around you, your family, your friends. You also just get more opportunities. Why? Because you're useful. And useful people are needed. And people that are needed get connections with lots of people. Like, it's just something so basic. And I'll make a podcast on that because I'd even written it down when I was writing the notes for this. I kind of realized, no, this podcast is two separate themes, really. But the other podcast is, you're not okay as you are. Because that's one of the biggest lies, in my opinion, told to men, kind of through the therapy route, which I've done all these different routes. That's why I only talk from things I've experienced in. Men being told, like, you're okay as you are. Just accept yourself as you are. You're perfectly fine. You don't need to work on anything or do anything. Bullshit. Like, again, if you, and like I've been there, I've been on total ends of the spectrum of, let's say, useless or no skills, not capable. Everything is down. Everything is physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, connection, everything is down. But when you become capable, everything is up. There's no downside to becoming capable. And like, that's why I need to do a separate podcast episode on it, because it's not about like your worth coming from some external thing. that's not what it's about. If you know me and you follow me a long time, I'd say things like gain your own self-respect over external approval, and that's still one of my values. But yeah, it's just becoming capable solves so many things, and it leads into the connection there as well. Because as I said, if you become capable, it really helps you anyway. But then if you're capable, you're needed. If you're needed, then you get connection, and then you can be part of a tribe as well. Like, just think of it. If you were starting a tribe, you're going to want some capable people in it. It's like a soccer team or something. Like, you want good players in that team. It wouldn't make sense if no one can do anything. And even think back to society. That's the way it was too, back in the old tribes. Like, you had to learn something. You had to be useful in something. There had to be a builder, a baker, or whatever. Like, everyone had to learn something so that they could contribute to the society. If everyone just said, no, I'm okay as I am, I'll... Like, you wouldn't get away with it back then. You didn't even have that option. That's the kind of point of it, because you'd die. You wouldn't survive if we all just sat there doing nothing. But now, in this day and age, that we've got over the survival problem, we create these new problems that never existed. Okay? We'll finish that part and leave the kind of deeper dive for the next episode. So that's why we need to find our tribe, all about the connection, like we're saying there. But the second point is about accountability. And this leads in again to the title, like, that isolation kills your mission. If you've no accountability, you're not going to be committed to anything. Okay, so that's what I write down there. No accountability, no commitment. And if you've no commitment, the mission dies. And I'm saying mission because it can be anything. It can be your self-development journey. It can be your career. It can be your relationships. It can be your sporting endeavors. If you're trying to make it a career, if it's just a hobby. Like, whatever it is, if you've no accountability, there's going to be no commitment. If you've no commitment, the mission is going to die. Okay, commitment is the catalyst. That's what we need for things. You don't need full commitment for everything, okay? It's not to be a perfectionist, but if you want to improve at anything, you have to commit to a certain degree. And when you commit to a certain degree, you have to make sacrifices. If you don't make any sacrifices, you haven't committed. Okay, just think about these things. They're very basic, but just think about them. There's probably something in your life now that you want progress in. And if I asked you, what have you sacrificed for it? And you're there thinking, well, actually, I haven't sacrificed anything, because you didn't want to put yourself out there and be open to disappointment. So you haven't committed whatsoever. Okay, so if you commit to something, you're sacrificing something, and now you're open to a bit of disappointment. That is part of the journey. Okay, so that's why I'm saying, if you're not open to some disappointment in your life, you haven't committed to anything and nothing is going to change. Like, very simple examples here, we'll just say, like, jiu-jitsu. I do jiu-jitsu. Okay. If I'm committing to jiu-jitsu, what do I need to do? I need to sacrifice my time that I might spend on other things. And then I could be open to disappointment from missing out on those other things. Like, maybe committing more time to jiu-jitsu, I have to sacrifice time with friends. Now I'm a bit disappointed because I missed a social event. There you go. Like, that's how it has to be. So if you're not open to disappointment in certain areas of your life because you sacrifice nothing, nothing is ever going to change because you're not committed. Okay, so you just need to understand that from the start. And the best way to be committed to something is to be held accountable by someone else. And that's why I've had 6 or 7 coaches the last 6 years. Like, even I would be a pretty disciplined person, but it's very hard to keep yourself accountable. We're the easiest person to fool. When you're accountable to somebody else, like a coach, like a friend, like a mentor, you are way more likely to do it. It's been proven scientifically, and you'll know it from your own life too. If you were to go to the gym at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning and it's pissing rain, are you more likely to stay in bed if you were going by yourself or if you told your best friend you're going to be there? Obviously, if you told someone else you're going to be there, what is that? That's just accountability to someone outside of yourself. So that's what we need too. Like, from the finding your tribe, you need people that are going to keep you accountable. And what else did I have there? Yeah, just to point on the other side of it. Like, if you've no accountability, what's going to happen? Pleasure and procrastination. They're the easy paths, and it's only going to be a matter of time. Okay, like, that's what's going to happen. Pleasure, even through, like, the dopamine spikes with Instagram, all these apps, then it'll be drinking, could be drugs, could be these other things, could be sex, could be whatever. That's where your focus is just going to slide into the easy paths, unless you're committed to something and you have someone to hold you accountable to it. And the analogy I loved with that is your environment is a massive part of that. Like, the people that you're around. And the analogy was, it's like holding out a water bottle. If I hold out a water bottle here, no matter how strong I am, over time my arm is going to drop. Like, it's inevitable in time. Or another analogy, like, if I'm trying to lose weight, 5 of my friends are overweight. even if I have a great diet, I'm going to break. I'm going to break someday when I come in and I'm tired and someone's eating McDonald's there. Whereas if I'm trying to lose weight, five of my friends are fit and they cook their own food, it's going to be much easier, isn't it? And they're going to hold me accountable too. So hopefully that's making sense. Isolation kills your mission. First point, like I said, isolate to integrate. You do need that monk mode period where you go and find yourself, find what you value, who you want to be, find out your vision, what you want to do, so that you have your compass going forward. And then you need, then after that period happens, that period could be 1 year, could be 3 or whatever, then you go and find your tribe. And you need your tribe for the connection reasons, because even with your monk mode stuff, if you do everything you want to do, you're going to feel lonely. You're not going to be happy with that because you have no one to share it with. You don't have your tribe. And even the analogy I say to people sometimes is that film, I Am Legend. Like, Will Smith's the only one left. He could take anything that he wants in the world. And, you know, that you'll find out that's not enough. It's not enough. And even through saying that to someone, I kind of realized too, like, we do essentially do everything for other people in a way. I know I'm big on getting your own self-respect, but just think of it like that. Think if everyone just disappeared from the world. Like, everything starts to become meaningless then. You know, so we just can't forget that when we're in monk mode, is that eventually we have to come out and find our tribe. Because it's been proven it's going to be the best predictor. Like, I think it was the partner that, like, the best predictor of your life happiness is actually the partner that you choose. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's not the career, it's not the money you make, it's not whatever. It's the partner that you choose because they're with you every day, a massive part of your life, no matter what else is going on. Okay, so the tribe, partner as well, but also friends are coming under that. And the last point that we touched on then was the accountability. So whatever mission that you have, there's no accountability, there's no commitment, and with no commitment, the mission is going to die. So finishing up then, we've got the mobility for jiu-jitsu class. So that's on Saturday, 11:30, 12:30, Brazier Jiu-Jitsu in Inchicore. That's open to everyone, not just Brazier members. It's also open to any body. You don't just have to do jiu-jitsu. Your mobility will still improve from doing this, but obviously, yeah, if you're doing jiu-jitsu, it's going to be really beneficial for you. Come along to it. And we have the sparring session afterwards. So I host a jiu-jitsu sparring session then 12:45 to 2 p.m. That is Brazier members only. But if you want to join Brazier, just DM me, let me know, and I'll sort that out. Excuse me. And yeah, if you're looking for a tribe, Brazier Jiu-Jitsu is one of those tribes in my life. Okay, so if you want to improve your mobility, or you're looking to join a tribe and even get help with your confidence, your self-defense from martial arts, you have two options there on a Saturday. I'm doing that every week now. And it's in person, because a lot of the stuff I'm doing is online, but this is in person. Yeah, DM me if you're interested in that, or email me. So sorry, yeah, the DM is guywhodidn'tsettle on Instagram, and then email is guywhodidn'tsettle@gmail.com. And besides that then, the Physical Freedom Program, there's a membership option, and then there's a one-to-one option there as well. You'll see them in the description. I think that's everything. And yeah, look, the usual stuff. Follow, rate the podcast just to support me. If you're getting value from this, two clicks on the podcast to rate it or subscribe, and if it's on Spotify or YouTube, that's what helps get this out to more people. Cool, so that's it. Don't settle, live true to yourself, and we'll talk to you next week.